Does your child struggle with perfectionism? Maybe they rip up their drawing if it doesn't look exactly the way they wanted it to, or maybe they react with intense frustration or even a meltdown every time they make a mistake. If that's your child, you do not want to miss today's episode, where we're going to get into three ways to help your perfectionistic child and why perfectionistic behavior happens in the first place. Let's get into it. Parenting is the hardest job ever, and parenting a highly sensitive child who's struggling can feel downright impossible. If you're suffering through endless meltdowns, walking on eggshells, and losing sleep worrying, you've landed in the right place, because I'm here to help you feel good about parenting your highly sensitive child. I'm Dr. Hillary, clinical psychologist and mom of three, and you're listening to the Raised Resilient podcast, where I help you make sense of your child's challenging behaviors and build resilience in the face of their big emotions. So warm up your coffee and grab your earbuds. It's time to turn your child's sensitivity into their superpower. Hey friend, welcome back to Raised Resilient. I'm your host, Dr. Hillary, and I am so glad you're here. So a few weeks ago, I talked about how perfectionism is really just one way that difficulty tolerating discomfort manifests for kids. And we see this so frequently with highly sensitive kids, where they are very perfectionistic. It's really another way for them to try to control the situation so that they don't have to feel uncomfortable feelings. And I also promised you in that episode that I would do another episode soon on how to actually respond to your perfectionistic child. How do you handle these moments where they're really stuck or refusing to try or ripping up their paper and starting over every time they make a tiny little mistake? So that's really what today's episode is going to be. I'm going to share three ways that you can respond to your perfectionistic child to help build resilience. And if you've seen signs of perfectionism in your child, and maybe you're wondering, is my child highly sensitive? Does my child fit the description of what Dr. Hillary's talking about when she's talking about highly sensitive kids? Go take my free quiz. It'll take you just a few minutes, and it'll let you know what your child's unique temperament is and how you can best support your child. Plus, it's fun, right? Who doesn't like to take a quiz? So you can go to raisedresilient.com/quiz and do that today. Even pause this episode and then come back and listen with a newfound understanding of your child. Okay, so like I mentioned a few episodes back, when our kids present as perfectionistic, where they really can't tolerate little disappointments and mistakes, and they go out of their way to not have to face those, that's really just another way that they're trying to avoid discomfort, uncomfortable feelings, right? Because they don't yet know how to handle those uncomfortable feelings. And sitting in that discomfort when you don't yet know how to manage it can feel really overwhelming. So our highly sensitive kids will often go out of their way to avoid discomfort. And trying to be perfect is one way that they do that. So how do you help a child who is dealing with perfectionistic tendencies? A lot of times what we want to do is we try to talk our child out of their perfectionism. And so that might sound something like this. Let's say that your child is drawing a picture and they make a mistake and they tell you, oh, it's ruined. I hate it. And what do we want to say in these moments as parents? We want to say, oh no, it's not ruined. Look, you could just do this, or hey, here's how you could fix it. Or we say, oh, but I love it. I think it looks great. What do you see that's wrong with it? This is a really common knee-jerk reaction we have as parents because we don't want our kids feeling like they have to be perfect. A lot of us felt like we had to be perfect growing up. And I feel like I have a whole other episode that I could do on the roots of perfectionism and how parents can accidentally wire that into their kids' neural pathways. But for the purposes of today's episode, I just want you to think about your knee-jerk reaction. How do you feel when your child behaves in a perfectionistic way? When your child shows you that they're trying to be perfect, do you feel constricted inside? Do you feel anxious? It makes sense if you do, okay? Because again, a lot of us grew up feeling like we needed to be perfect, and maybe we even sometimes still deal with perfectionistic tendencies. How many of you say things like, I'm a recovering perfectionist? Right? So the last thing we want to hear is our kids using perfectionistic language. And you might even think, they didn't get this from me. I'm not teaching them this, am I? So we often want to shut it down. We want to try to convince our child that actually they don't need to be perfect and they can let that pressure go. But like most things in parenting, when we try to talk our kids out of their feelings, when we try to convince them that they shouldn't feel that way, or here's why they should actually be okay with their mistakes, that typically ends up backfiring, right? Have you ever told your child, oh, but your picture's so great. See, here's how you could fix that mistake, and have it actually help the situation? Chances are good that it doesn't help. It actually only makes things worse. And that's because your child is having an emotional experience when they're dealing with perfectionism, and they're trying to navigate that experience. And when you tell them, well, here's why you shouldn't feel that way, just like any feeling when we do this, it makes your child feel like, okay, well, I still feel this way, but now I'm alone with this big feeling. And when we do that, we don't help our kids get better at tolerating their feelings. We're actually just leaving them alone with their feelings. And so the ways that we support perfectionistic kids are going to be really similar to the ways that we might support other feelings. So with that in mind, here are three ways you can respond to your child's perfectionistic behaviors and perfectionistic moments that are going to help wire them for resilience instead of leaving them alone with their feelings. The first one is to validate their experience. So if your child is drawing a picture and they tell you, oh, I hate it, it's ruined, you could just validate and reflect to them what they're telling you. That might sound something like this. Oh, you're so frustrated. You made a mistake and you don't like your drawing anymore. Notice you're not saying, yeah, I mean, that mistake really does ruin the drawing. You're not agreeing with them. You're just reflecting and validating and acknowledging their very real felt experience. So I have a story about this from recently. My 6-year-old was drawing a picture and he did something that he didn't like. And he just said, oh, it's ruined. I hate it. And of course, I felt part of me wanting to say, oh, but it's not ruined. You just did one little thing that you didn't like. But I stopped myself and I just did what I just advised that you do, which is essentially acknowledge his experience. So I said, oh, you really don't like how it looks now that you did this thing. You made this mark and you don't like it. And now you feel like your picture is ruined. That is so frustrating. And he said, yeah, it's so frustrating. And when I said this, I kid you not, he was literally standing over the trash can with his hands in position to rip this drawing in half. But when I acknowledged his feelings, he kind of paused for a moment and he said, yeah, it is frustrating. And then, and this is the part that to this day still floors me, and if it didn't happen in my real life, I wouldn't actually believe that it was real, but he looked at the picture and then he looked at me and then he looked back at the picture and considered it for a moment. And he said, you know what? It's actually not ruined. I actually still like it. And he took a magnet and hung this thing on the fridge. So just by me holding space for his perfectionistic feeling, for that perfectionistic voice in his head telling him that it was ruined, he was able to then shift out of it has to be perfect and into, you know what? It's good enough. Similarly, I'm working with a client right now whose child is a competitive dancer. And a lot of times her daughter comes off the stage and is unhappy with how she did, even though from her mother's perspective, she did amazing. And this used to be a point of contention for them where she would come off the stage and say, oh, I did so bad. I messed up. And her mom would say, no, you didn't. You did so great. And it would cause this tension between them. And so her mom started saying things instead like, oh yeah, you weren't happy with how you did up there. Tell me more. And the difference in their relationship, just by her mom starting to hold space for some of these more uncomfortable feelings, was so powerful. They got so much closer just because her mom was able to sit with her experience instead of feeling like she needed to fix it. Another example of this, my husband was a competitive runner and his parents would come to his track meets in high school and they would always tell him, oh, you did so great. And to him, that felt really invalidating because he knew what he wanted to do. He knew his goals for his performance and he knew when he met them and when he didn't. And so when they would insist, no, 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 you did great, he felt so invalidated that he ultimately didn't even want them to come to his meets anymore. And it's funny, I remember him telling me that story before we had kids. And now I understand so much better what he was feeling in those moments and how now as a parent, I would handle that differently. Because I think the first time I heard that story, I was like, well, I mean, that's what parents do, right? They cheer for us. They tell us we're great. Telling your kid that they're great or their performance was great or their art is great is only helpful if that's how they are feeling. Otherwise, it just invalidates their experience. And what is so much more important is to wire into our kids that they can trust themselves. They can trust how they're feeling. And that is what's going to lead them to be truly resilient, knowing that they can get through any feeling that they have and that feelings come and go. And that just because in one moment you want to rip your picture in half, The next moment, you might feel like hanging it on the fridge if you can just hang in there through that feeling. But so often as parents, we don't hang in there through that feeling because we think they shouldn't have that feeling. We think that feeling means they need to go to treatment for anxiety. We think that feeling means that there's something wrong with them. We think that feeling means that there's something wrong with us. And I promise you, that is just not the case. And if we fight back against these perfectionistic statements and feelings that our kids have, our kids are only going to keep having them. It's only when we can actually paradoxically allow these feelings to exist that they will get a little bit lighter and eventually fade away altogether. So the second thing you can do to support your child through perfectionistic feelings and thoughts is to talk about perfectionistic feelings and thoughts as a normal part of everyone's experience. And so the way that you do that might sound something like this. So let's say that your child says, "Oh, I ruined my paper. I hate it." You might say, "Oh yeah, it sounds like your 'it has to be perfect' voice is really loud right now." And you know what? I totally get that. My 'it has to be perfect' voice gets really loud sometimes too. Or you might say, "Oh yeah, there's a part of you that is telling you that it really has to look exactly the way you wanted it to. And that part is really loud right now." I have that part too. And you know what? Sometimes when I hear that part of me getting really loud, I just say, "Okay, perfect part, I hear you." And then when I do that, something really cool happens. And another part of me, the part of me that knows I am good enough exactly as I am, comes in and gets loud so that I can hear it too. Helping our kids realize that these feelings, these voices that we hear that tell us things need to be a certain way, that's just a part of them, right? This voice that's telling them this has to be perfect is just a part of them. It's not all of them. And this is exactly what happened with my son when I validated what he was experiencing, that, you know what, actually it's good enough voice got loud enough for him to hear it, and he hung his picture on the fridge. So this is a really powerful way we can talk about perfectionism instead of making it something that is our child, our whole child, right? My child is a perfectionist. My child is perfectionistic. Can we just acknowledge that it's a part of them? And they also have another part that knows that they are good enough exactly as they are. And by the way, if you, like me, identify as a recovering perfectionist, this is an excellent strategy for you to try as well. When your "this needs to be perfect" voice gets really loud, identify it. Greet it like, "Hi, my 'it has to be perfect' voice. I hear you." And then see what happens. See what shifts. You will be surprised as to what kind of space you create for other feelings when you do that. And this is not just true for perfectionistic feelings, but also any feeling that we acknowledge. Typically, we are creating space for other feelings to flow in. And that is a really powerful thing to experience. So I highly suggest that you start trying this. And the third way that you can support your highly sensitive child in managing perfectionistic moments is by modeling your response to you making mistakes. And even maybe narrating out loud your process when you're dealing with your own perfectionism. So let's say that you're making a cake. This happened to me last week. I was making a cake for my mom's birthday. And I don't know about you, but frosting cakes is really tough. Like, I can do the top just fine, but the sides are tricky because I don't have any of those fancy like cake frosting tools. And my kids were watching me frost the cake and I kept messing it up and like getting crumbs from the cake mixed in with the icing. And so I took this as an opportunity to say, "You know what? I really don't like that I am not getting the frosting right the way that I wanted to. There's all these crumbs that are mixing in with the icing and it doesn't look the way I hoped it would look. And you know what? There's a part of me that really wanted this cake to look perfect." And at this point, my 9-year-old said, "Yeah, I feel like that sometimes too. Like at school, when I'm working on a project, I feel that way." And I said, "Yeah, it feels really tricky because I'm trying to make it look the way I want it to, but no matter what I'm doing, it's not turning out that way. But as much as a part of me wants this to look perfect, another part of me knows that it looks good enough just as it is, and grandma's gonna love it." And then my 6-year-old was like, "Yeah, grandma's gonna love it, and it's gonna taste so yummy anyway." So I took that moment to just narrate my process out loud for my kids in a moment when they were not at all activated. We were all just doing something fun together. I took that opportunity to help them see that I make mistakes too, and things don't always turn out the way that I want them to. And when I'm working on something, it doesn't always instantly look perfect. And this is especially powerful because kids are always learning new things. Kids are always being asked to integrate new skills and information. And by comparison, we as grownups look really competent. Like, we want to tie our shoes, we just do it. We want to bake a cake, we just do it. So showing your kids more of your process can be really, really, really powerful as a way of modeling a way to work through these moments without letting them completely take over. So those are three ways that you can respond to your child's perfectionistic moments so that over time, these moments won't completely take over. They won't end in a meltdown. Now, these are great ways of responding in the moment. And then, of course, narrating your own process is a really wonderful modeling tool. But it's also really, really, really important to work outside of intense emotional moments to help your child develop the skills they need to tolerate these feelings when they come up. And this is exactly what I empower parents to do in my Chaos to Connection program. So if your child is really struggling with these perfectionistic thoughts and feelings, if they are having daily meltdowns, if you don't know how to help your child, you can't even talk to them in the moment because they are so dysregulated, book a free breakthrough session with me and let's talk about what's going on. We'll talk about how I can help and we'll figure out together if my Chaos to Connection program is the next right step for your family so that you can end the constant meltdowns and restore actual peace in your home. Because life is too short to dread parenting your highly sensitive kid. I know how you're feeling and I've been there, and every client I have helped transform their family dynamic through this program has been there too. So go to raisedresilient.com/breakthrough, book your free call. I cannot wait to talk to you. I hope this episode has been helpful. Thank you so much for listening and I will catch you in the next episode. Want to continue the conversation and connect with other parents who get it? Join our free Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/raisedresilient. I can't wait to see you in there. And if you loved today's episode, I'd be so honored if you'd share it with a friend who needs it. Thanks for listening. And until next time, we've got this.